Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 10th day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Pastor Bob Returns. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Borada. Cymru am byth. Basically, I'm saying good morning and Wales forever. We will take callers later on in the program. We do ask that you use proper language and decorum since we have a mixed audience. Also, keep comments or questions as short as possible. And if more than one is on the line at a time, you wish to make sure that you do not talk over other people. We are in the question and answer mode, which means that everybody joining the call is automatically muted at my end until such time you indicate you wish to speak. Now, if you're on a phone, you do that by pressing star 6. If you're on a computer, you press the ask question button. Pastor Bob's with us, and I'll unmute him here in just a second. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and the Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. There's a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen, so please be aware that you need to stay updated almost on an hourly basis now. I have a page on my website called Daily Mail. That's where I post the what I consider anyway the most pertinent and latest news items. But there's also survival information there about guns and ammunition, food preparation, and natural health. There's archives of our programs going back to 1999. In fact, you can find Pastor Bob and I on there from many years ago when he was on the program once before. And I'll bring him on here in just a second. But first, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "But just as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And that's referencing Leviticus chapter 11, 44 through 45. And you got to remember the word holy means consecrated, and of course consecrated to our Heavenly Father Yahweh. Let me try to get my software to work here and turn Bob on. Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hi, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and sir, it's been a while, so how are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking out here in Oy Vegas.
Oy Vegas,
as they say. Yeah, Oy Vegas. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I call it. adult Disneyland. You know, people come here, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and you know, it's lunacy. I've been here off and on for the most part since '63, so I've seen it when the mob used to run it, and it was a good old boy network and right wing totally to where now we're run by totally demon craps from our communist government, Governor Sisolak, who wants everybody to wear a face mask forever. And you know, then you have is the mayor. You had Oscar Goodman, who was the mob lawyer for many years, and he was a mayor for I think 8 or 12 years, and now his wife Carolyn, she's the mayor for the last 8 or 12 years, and I don't keep up with a lot of that. I've known them for years, way back before I knew who the Jew really was. And most of the hotels are just puttering along, barely. Some are never going to reopen again, which is a good thing. On one hand, you know, I always would have thought, you know, a great thing is to close all the casinos and be done. But of course, I didn't figure this would ever happen. But the demon craps are doing it, you know, by keeping these hotels shut down. So, you know, people aren't coming here as much, and, you know, the airlines aren't running, and they don't have one of those 14-day quarantine deals when you come into the state like they do in California. So we live in interesting times for sure.
Amen to that. Now, it's been quite a while since you've been my guest. And we've got a lot of new people, Bob. So if you don't mind, now, do you want me to call you Bob or Pastor Bob? Which would you prefer?
Bob is fine.
Bob's fine?
Just don't call me late for dinner, as they say.
That's what my mom used to say. Anyway, Bob, if you would, take a few seconds or minutes or whatever you want to take and let the folks know a bit about your background, you know, how you got to where you are.
Well, for the old joke, I was born a poor black child. No, I'm a white guy, folks. On my mother's side, 100% Irish. On my father's side, 90% Irish and about 5% English and 5% French. going back, George Wellington is in my family tree. General Wellington, and he was who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. Also, Roger Sherman, who was the delegate of Connecticut, who created the Connecticut Compromise, that there should be two houses, one representing the people and one representing the states. And that's what we have today. And he wrote a great book called A Caveat Against Injustice, which is the treaty to forbid and put down all the faults and everything of paper currency. Because back then people used gold and silver. Anyway, that's the background. I grew up on the East Coast, Connecticut, a little bit in Florida, a little bit in Massachusetts, and then moved out west to California. Raised a Catholic, as it were. Made it through Catholic school with the nuns beating me with yardsticks and rulers because I was left-handed. And the Catholics thought, well, you must be possessed by the devil if you're left-handed. So all the left-handed kids got their knuckles beat. And so all those Bull Dyke nuns, you know, they'll pay to Yahweh when they see him, you know, for their child abuse and so forth. Anyway, to say nothing of the pedophile priest, who, as we all know, the Vatican is a world pedophile headquarters. But anyway, left that, went to California, came to Vegas. I got here a week before Kennedy got killed. And I thought it was a movie when they said the president got shot and so forth. And, you know, couldn't believe it. That was just unbelievable. So anyway, grew up here in Vegas, got in the gambling business when I turned 21, and left that as when the mob used to run it, it was great. But then the corporations started coming in, and they do everything with the bean pushers, you know, they ruined everything. So I left that, but did work 8 years in the gambling business, was a dealer of all games, pit boss, eye in the sky, outside security, did all of that sort of stuff. And so then after that, I got into real estate, primarily commercial real estate. And an old Jew took me under his wing. He was an interesting character. His name was Paul Axelrod. And he was Morris Shanker's right-hand man. Morris Shanker, he was the attorney who got Jimmy Hoffa off on his beef with Bobby Kennedy. And for that, they gave him controlling interest in the Dunes Hotel out here. And as long as every Sunday night, he got on a red eye and went back to Kansas City with a big black bag full of cash to Nick Savella, who was head of the Kansas mob. And but anyway, Axelrod, he was written up in Jimmy Fradiano's book, The Last Mafiosa, is Morris Shanker's genius banker. Had 6 pages in there dedicated to him. And so that was my mentor in commercial real estate. And never met a guy who knew more about real estate, insurance, securities, commodities, you name it, anything on the financial world. This guy was amazing. And I tell the story to folks on our first deal. We went back to New York to do a commercial financing deal. It was a small one, $13 million. And so we went to see another old Jew, 92 years old, Louis Weisberg. And so he said, yeah, he said, I can do this deal after he showed him the merits. He says, let's go to lunch. So we go to lunch and sit down, and it's a private banking club where only bankers and their friends can go. And who comes running over to hug Louis Weisberg but David Rockefeller, who happened to teach, Louis taught him the commercial financing for his father. So Rockefeller told his group that he was with, go back to the office, he'll see him later. So I'm sitting there with Axelrod on my left, David Rockefeller right across from me, and Louis Weisberg on the right. And here I am, a 30-year-old white kid, new in the business, so I know enough to keep my mouth shut, and because I'm not in this conversation, as it were. So they're going back and forth, and Axelrod is telling them how to do their deals and some tough deals that they had and so forth. And David Rockefeller, he was refinancing the entire South Korean debt, you know, just to show you the type of deals that they do. So anyway, that's how I broke into the commercial finance business. Was in that for a number of years. Went to Texas in the middle 80s. Lost it all, being builder developers, him and I. And then I moved out to California again, Newport Beach, beautiful, my favorite place there is, and just absolutely beautiful. I got to own a bank to live there. But anyway, a friend of mine had got me into Scientology, of all things, and that was real interesting, up to I found a one of the guys in there had who was way up there. He told me about the Jerry Armstrong trial. And the Jerry Armstrong trial was a public record in the courts. And the archivist from Scientology, the Sea Org, their top group in there, they went to him and say, hey, Hubbard's getting old. We'd like you to go back in and find out information of the early days and so forth of Hubbard. And because we want to make a movie and write some books and so forth. So the archivist, he went back in there, couldn't believe what he saw and discovered. So he made copies of it and he left. Well, eventually the Sea Org found out that he did. And so they put their team of lawyers on him to sue him to get back information, which all he did was make copies. He didn't have any original. The originals were there. Long and short of that was that Hubbard, in the beginning days, he worked with Aleister Crowley, who was one of the most satanic people ever lived, who had declared himself the B666, and another guy, Jack Whiteside Parsons, who was head of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. And so Hubbard had worked with those guys, and the day Aleister Crowley died, Hubbard declared himself the B666. And he was a master thief of trademark and copyright laws, and he had got a lot of great information about computers and so forth, and how the mind works similar to a computer, and wrote the books and produced Dianetics and Scientology. Anyway, when I found this out, and I went to, there was another separate group that had split off from him, a fellow named David Mayo, who went up to Santa Barbara, and he opened up his own, he called it the Advanced Ability Center. And I put down the Jerry Armstrong trial, the transcript of it, and told him, I said, is this true? And he says, I knew this would get out someday. I said, so it is true. I said, Hubbard was a practicing Satanist, and into black magic and all that stuff, sex magic. And he says, yeah, he says, it's true. He says, but the information's good. You know, I said, nah, I'm done with you guys. I'm not into Satanism or any of that. So I left and went to take care of my father, who he was getting senile and so forth, and moved back to Vegas. And so anyway, a friend of mine, he had wrote a article in the Jubilee newspaper, which was a newspaper of old days. I don't believe it's around anymore. And he had an article in there and asked me to read it, and so I did. And in there was a little ad that said, "Are you confused about religion?" It had a picture of a man and a woman with question marks above their head. And anyway, I went and I signed up for the course, and it was the American Institute of Theology course by a Pastor Hugh, who had taken over for Bertrand Comparé down in San Diego. Eventually, Pastor Hugh had passed away, and he sent all the Comparé material and the American Institute of Theology course to Mike Alamore over at Kingdom Identity Ministries, and that's where it is today. So anyway, that's how I learned 26 years ago now, and I learned the two seed line messages, I like to call it, and which, you know, the simple thing to put this, especially for you new people, most everybody has no problem agreeing there's a God. His name happens to be Yahweh, and he happens to be the literal DNA father of the pure white race who were put here 7,500 years ago. And the whole genealogy is in Luke 3, and it says Adam was the son of God. It goes backwards kind of from in Luke 3. You'll see how it works. So-and-so begat so-and-so and so forth. So anyway, that's Yahweh. He's our father. We're the pure white race. We're his chosen people. We are his DNA people. And later on, he incarnated, excuse me, he incarnated through the Virgin Miriam and became known as Yahshua, or Jesus Christ for you new people. So Yahweh came to redeem his people, and he is our Savior. And so that's that genealogy. Yahweh, Adam, the pure white race, Yahweh redeeming us as Yahshua, and here we are today if you're a pure white race. On the other side of the coin, we have Satan seducing Eva. Satan's name was Azazel back in the Book of Enoch and so forth. And his literal DNA children started with Cain and came down through the Esau, Edomites, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and the Hivites, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, and all the other kikes, the 10 tribes that became 7, as it said in the scripture, and they're known today as the Satanic seed line Jews. And then, of course, the Khazar Ashkenazi were grafted in there around 750 AD. And so that's what we have today. And you're seeing played out right now the war between Yahweh's children and Satan's kids, the children of light versus the children of darkness. And so anyway, what I do today is I had a radio show up till a few weeks ago, and my co-partner, he passed away. Had a heart attack, unfortunately. Young man, 53. Andre was his name. And so here we are. But I consider myself, besides scripture, since I've been doing radio shows for about 25 years now, you know, my main thing that I do is I don't take any tithes or anything like that. So please feel free to tithe Dan. And but I've, ran in a fast track in New York, which is the fastest track there is for financing. And I've been a Series 7 stockbroker and a Series 3 commodity broker and a Series 65 registered investment advisor. I got all the garbage from the Jew schools. And so I know pretty much everything they know about financing. But most importantly, I know Yahweh's way, which is what the truth is in financing, is the hard assets. As he said, it's the gold, the silver, that's true money, the land. On the land, you have the crops and the cattle. and so forth. And oil, they mentioned in there, which they meant olive oil back then, because that had many uses that are, most of them are not in use today. But they weren't talking about petrol that you put in your car, because that hadn't been pretty much discovered by then. But it's the hard assets. And on the other side, under Satan's thing, you have the, as I like to call it, the paper money gimmick game. Gimmick meaning that it's a trick. And so they give you a piece of paper, like a dollar bill or a check or a credit card, which is fiat, and it's not backed by anything. And then they get the hard assets from you. And that's why the Rothschild family today owns 70% of the world's gold. And the rest of the countries, they split up the rest and a little bit go to the people. But if you don't have gold and silver in your pocket or in your safe or something, folks, you don't have any money. You might have hundreds of thousands in the bank accounts in your IRA and 401k, which I would highly suggest you get that out, because it's going to come crashing down, and convert it into, as Robert Kiyosaki says, the four precious metals: gold, silver, guns, and ammo.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Bob, real quick, there's some questions that the audience wants to ask you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
This guy wants to know, how did you find out Trump is a Jew?
Interesting. Axelrod, who I mentioned earlier, we had done a deal in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And so we went there, and we picked up our money from the bank and went and saw the people at their property and stuff. And we saw that the Dunes Hotel back there in Atlantic City, it was about halfway built and had stopped construction. Well, what lenders do is they play this game, and they'll loan you a construction loan, and then ideally, after you build the building, it'll roll over into what's called a takeout. And then that's the permanent financing of 20 or 30 years or whatever you do, and whatever rate, adjustable, fixed, and so forth. But anyway, as we were doing the deal and so forth, and we went and we got a contract with a guy that if we could raise money for him to finish the project, not only will we get a handsome brokerage fee, but we get a piece of the equity in the building. So anyway, he says, let's go see Donald Trump over here. And I said, you know Trump? He says, yeah, we went to the same synagogue together as kids. I said, okay. I said, that's interesting. Not knowing at that point, I didn't know anything about Jews, because I was running around with one of the most heavyweight Jews. His family was a big builder-developer family in New York, and they built tons of properties in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, California, Arizona. And Fred Trump's father, Donald Trump's father, he got the first license in 33 to build houses from the government, FHA houses, when the government said, you know, we got to get this economy moving. So the government loans money, and they used to loan 102% to all the builders, the thought being that you would put 2% in your pocket as a kicker, and then you'd build for 100%. Well, these Jew builders, they put 32% in their pocket and built for 70% and cheated on the construction loan, both parts and labor and so forth, material and labor. So, but anyway, Fred Trump, he got the first license to build FHA houses, and Axelrod's father got the second license to build FHA houses. So it's my guess that he was probably telling me the truth, that Trump is a Jew, but he keeps it well hidden.
Right. Well, there was a lot of talk I saw when Trump first started to talk about running and everything else. There was a lot of information that went out about Fred, his father, and the fact that he was had a very cozy relationship with the New York Jews, and even spent millions of dollars, I believe, donated millions of dollars to help build a major synagogue in New York, if I remember right. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. We never really. Anyway, when we went to talk with Trump at that point in life, this is going back to about 83, something like that, 82 maybe, 84, somewhere in there. Anyway, Trump, he was a tough negotiator. We couldn't do a deal with him. We would get the short end of the stick for sure. And, you know, he had a giant ego, which I don't think anybody would dispute that. But, no, I never got into too much of Trump's background there because I wasn't dealing with him, and so I didn't care. But, you know, the you see, everybody should see that he puts Israel first. He said Israel, or it's a lie, as I like to call it. They moved the capital in Itzalai from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and that's all prophesized in the scripture, you know, that that would happen. And, you know, a lot of people, they have a hard time believing it because they see that a lot of Jews turn against Trump. Well, the bottom line is, as Nahum Goldman said, who was head of the World Jewish Council, he says, Jewish life consists of two things, complaining and extracting money. And that's what they do. They complain about everything all the time. They argue with everybody all the time. Jews would argue back and forth with themselves. I mean, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. And then they're done arguing, they shake hands and go have a corned beef sandwich, you know.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just their deal.
Let me. He's got another part to the question, and then I have some questions for you. But he goes, as far as you know, what's the difference between money Jews and war Jews, and how does Trump fit in with that?
I don't think there is any difference. the Jews, you know, they call wars a Jewish harvest. Why? Because they get to, you know, like, for instance, England and Germany. They'd run over to England. They'd say, hey, did you hear what those Germans said about you? You can't let them get away with that, blah, blah, blah. Then they'd run over to Germany, and they'd say, did you hear what them Brits said about you? You can't let them get away with that, blah, blah, blah. So they get everybody all stirred up. They loan money to both sides to buy the war material, of which they just happen to own the factories, and they get a little discount if they buy from those factories. And so they sell them the stuff. The white guy goes and fights the white guy for some made-up reason that has nothing to do with reality. And then the Jew sits back and laughs and laughs and laughs as they loan money to both sides, collect heavy interest. Then they got to spend it at their Jew stores, their war stores, where they make the ships and the planes and so forth. In the old days, they did the same thing, but it was horses and single-shot rifles and camping gear and whatever. But these days, the war materials, you know, is billions of dollars, building these planes and ships and so forth. And so then when they've exhausted both sides and drained both sides pretty much, they stop loaning money. And so they make the peace process, and the peace process is you're not getting any money, so you got to stop the war. So they stop the war, and now, guess what? They got to loan money to both sides again to rebuild what they blew up. And they sold them all the bullets and bombs in the first place, killed all the people. Most people don't know this, but the the American military and the British, I'm sure, and the German, I don't know about them, but I would say the same thing. When they join the military, a life insurance policy is taken out on them, and the beneficiary is the Rothschild family. And since they control all the central banks of every country there is, and they control with stock all the insurance companies, you got 6,000 insurance companies worldwide. Half of them do life and health, and the other half do property and casualty. But they they have all those insurance policies, so when they go to war, like the Vietnam War, 55,000 and I forget the exact number, something like that died. Well, 55,000 beneficiary policies went besides the ones that people may take out on themselves, that those 55,000 death benefits of those life policies went to the Rothschild family, and they have a big dynasty trust, which is where they keep their money, and a dynasty trust set up in several states here in America go as far as 1,000 years. In Nevada, it's only 360 years. I don't know why. Never found out why. Don't really care. But you put your money in there, and the money can go from generation to generation without any estate taxes ever being paid whatsoever. And so that's what, how the, where the Rothschilds keep their money, and they run all the central banks. So and they get to print the money up and spend it into existence first. That's the big culprit on the planet. They're Satan's favorite kids and been running this planet on behalf of their father, Satan, for the last 200-some years.
Amazing. And the other part of the question was, how do you see Trump fitting in with these money Jews and war Jews?
I just don't make that distinction, you know, because the... The bankers are the ones that loan the money for the people to go to war. Satan, what he wants to do is kill all of Yahweh's children. That's his number one goal, especially these days, which is why they got their second favorite son, probably, Bill Gates, the Jew, to come up with this phony poison vaccine that's killing people like crazy. And But the, you know, Jews are Jews are Jews. How the pecking order goes, it's Satan at the top of the food chain, and then the Rothschild family underneath, and then below that you have the Warburgs, the Schiffs, the Oppenheimers, the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers were separate, but they have married in to the Rothschild family, and so they're part of the Rothschild family now. And then you got others like Al Gore. He married his daughter to a Schiff. And so now his daughter is in part of that genealogy there and so forth. Trump, he married his daughter to Kushner, who's a hardcore Jew, and he just let his father out of jail, who was in prison for whatever crimes he had committed. I'm sure they didn't arrest him for all the crimes he committed, because as a Jew, see, the Jews at the top, they understand this is it. They have no future. When they're over and they're done in this life, they're going straight to hell to their father Satan. End of story. And then when Yahweh returns, they're all going by fire, and that's the end of Jews, and you won't hear anything about Jews ever again. They'll go the way of the dinosaur, and that'll be that. Now, us, the pure white race, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, when this body, as it's called as a metaphor, the golden bowl, when it breaks, we go up that silver cord, and absent in this body is to be in the presence of Yahweh. And that silver cord is what they call the tunnel of light. When somebody's in the hospital and they're close to near-death experience, they say, oh, I saw this tunnel of light, and I went up there, and I saw my parents, and I saw Christ, and so forth. And so that's what you have. We have a future. As long as you don't take that shot, folks, because in there is the mark of the beast that the Jew has put in there. And if you take that, you're cut off from Yahweh forever. Now, I sent that out to my list a few months ago. And so I'm sure Dan has a copy of that somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I forwarded that out to about 250 people.
Great. Yeah, folks, whatever you do, I don't care what they say. If they come to your house and they want to force you to take that shot, and they got military, grab your gun and go down in a gunfight. Do not take that shot, because you will be cut off from Yahweh forever.
Right.
Period. End of story.
It was providential. I ran into a good friend of mine here in the community. She was on her way home. I happened to have my bicycle, and I took a different route. And met her halfway to her house, And she was telling me she was getting ready to take the shot soon because she was scared, you know, she was afraid. And I was able to convince her that she had nothing to worry about. She's a strong believer. And I said, they're lying to you. She works at a hospital. And I said, of all things, I said, if you don't believe me about anything I've ever told you before, I said, this time, please trust me and do not get that vaccine. And then I told her about my niece and what she was told by somebody at a fairly high level in the medical profession. And after telling her that and all, she said, God sent you to talk to me, and I will not take that shot. So, you know, praise the Father. Praise the Father for that. That some people.
Yeah, praise Yahweh.
Yeah. In fact, my son is a driver for a major carrier, very similar to FedEx. And he refused to deliver vaccines at work. So, you know, I was very proud of him for taking that stand. And praise Yahweh, up to this point anyway, there's been no repercussions because they know his stand. He's never put a mask on. He's never followed any of their idiotic rules. He's as healthy as a horse. And he's trying to convince people, including other drivers, that, you know, this is ridiculous what they've got you doing. So, but he took his stand. I know other people in the family are taking their stand. We're not putting that shit in our bodies. I'm planning on doing exactly what you said, and I've made it very public. If they come to my door and think they're going to put that crap in my body, that'll be my last day on earth. I'll see you guys on the other side because I'm going to take as many of them out with me as I can. Because that's it. If they, yeah, praise Yahweh, because if they have the right to put that bullshit in your body, you're not alive anymore. You're a slave. And not on my watch. They're not going to put that poison in the people I love and care for. They're not going to, and the commies are not going to take over this country if I have anything to say about it. That's another item that's worth dying for. So, you know, we have two major issues going on right now, which is your own personal health. That's worth dying for. And stopping these satanic communists, that's worth dying for, too. Now, the guy that asked about these questions, he's got one more question. He wants,
sure.
He wants to know if you would talk about the dinner that you had with the Jewish gambler and his wife. If you recall.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. I haven't talked about that one in a long time. Anyway, about 25 years ago when I got that American Institute of Theology course and I went through it, I would assume it would take somebody 6 months to a year normally. I got through it in a few months. The only delay was shipping the testing material back there to Pastor Hugh and then getting it back. The time it took for the mail, the snail mail, as they say, to go through back and forth. Anyway, when I got done with that, there was a Jew I knew. His name was Kenny Franks. And his uncle was Frank Soskin, who an old Cleveland mob guy who came out, and he was a casino manager at the Desert Inn Hotel at the time. And so I knew the whole Soskin family and Franks and so forth. And so it was his birthday. I forget how old he was, maybe 70 or something, 71. Anyway, him and his wife, another Jew broad, we went to the top of the Stratosphere, which is the tallest building west of the Mississippi in America, right in Vegas, can't miss it. But up at the very top, they have a restaurant that revolves around, and about once an hour, it revolves completely around the city. And so people like to go there and, you know, look at the lights of Vegas. I could care less since when I first got here in Vegas in 63, there was 35,000 people. It rose up to as high as 1.8 million. I think it's probably down to 1.2 million, 1.4 million and dropping because there's no jobs here. And going to be a ton of foreclosures, which is good for me in the real estate business, bad for the people who are living in the house. But anyway, we went out to dinner, and so I thought, well, I'm going to blow his mind and start telling him all this stuff that I discovered in the American Institute of Theology course. So I started saying, you know, did you know this about the Jews? Did you know that about the Jews? And that the Jews are children of Satan and not of God, as it clearly says in John 8:44 and 8:47 and so forth. And so after about a half an hour of me rambling on, he says, well, I never knew you're an anti-Semite. I said, and I had known him for like back in the 60s. And so that was probably 30 years I knew him. And I says, now there's another thing. I says, the Jews aren't Semites. The Jews are the Yahudi, which means the accursed ones. I said, who the Semites are descendants of Shem, who's the pure white race, the pure Persians, which are now the Iranians, and the pure Arabs. I says, they're the Semites who are descendant from them, although it's primarily in the pure white race, as we talk about it, and we're called the Caucasians because we went through the Pass of Israel, as it was called, between the Caucasus, through the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, through the Caucasus Mountains. It was a Pass of Israel, it was called, and the Jews changed that when they took over Russia. So it's not called that anymore. But that's why we're called Caucasian. So anyway, I started telling him about all this stuff, and all of a sudden the wife, she jumps in, and she hadn't said a word in that half hour. Just sit back and listening. Excuse me. And so she says, no, Kenny, everything he is telling you is true. We Jews know we are the children of Satan. It's taught in the synagogues. And she goes, she went to the synagogue every Friday night or Saturday and, you know, listened to the rabbis, as I like to call them, not rabbis. And she says, by the way, Bob, did you know this? And did you know that about the Jew? And she went on for about an hour telling me all about the Jews and how they've taken over here and they control the money and they put the politicians in place and they blackmail them all, either through money, bribes, or sex, and especially if they're a pervert and like they're pedophiles and so forth, and on and on and on. And so they control them and they're allowed to do certain things, but when the Jew wants something, when he says jump, they say how high. And she went on to tell me all about the Jews and how they've just about taken over the world everywhere. And she validated that they control all the central banks and the Rothschilds are at the top of the food chain and so forth. And that the Rothschilds actually have a table in their castle. And they have many castles, not only in England, but in France and Germany and Italy and so forth. And they actually have a rabbi that conjures up Satan, and Satan sits at the dinner table with him and has dinner and tells him what to do. Now, she validated all of this stuff. And I sat there, and I was blown. My mind was blown. I couldn't believe it because there was the second witness. Here was all this great information. The American Institute of Theology course, by the way, takes you book by book through the scripture. And so when you get done with it, I've always told folks, you'll know more than 99% of these phony preachers out here about what the scripture really says. Because if you don't know who the players are in the book, you don't know who it is. And if you're thinking the Hebrew Israelites are the Jews, you're on a different script. And you've been brainwashed by the Talmud Vision TV or your phony public school fool system, which is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, or by the phony preachers, who all your preachers and all the Protestant and, of course, obviously the Catholics, they're all taught in seminaries, better called cemeteries, and they're all controlled, all those churches, by the National Council of Churches, and they're all controlled by the World Council of Churches. And who do you think controls the World Council of Churches? Well, the Rothschild family, and they control it through the Jesuits because they took over the Catholic Church in 1826 when they told the Pope there, they said, look, we got all your money and we froze all your accounts and all of our banks and so forth. You have no army. Either you're going to go along to get along, and we'll let you be the one world religion because we're looking to take over the world and new world order and all that stuff. And so what do you want to do? We'll either have a war right here in Vatican and destroy everything here and keep your money, or you want to go along and get along. And so the Pope obviously said, yeah, we'll go along and get along. We got no choice. So anyway, long story short, it's absolutely validated by a Jew witch, if you want to call her that, which is a better description. And she knew everything that I was saying was true, 100%. And you'll never hear this in the phony Protestant churches, which are all spawned off the Catholic Church anyway. And you'll never hear it in the Catholic Church, which was started by lukewarm white people and the first Jews for Jesus crowd back in 300 A.D. And it was just a transfer of the Roman Empire to the Holy Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was turning all faggot and debasing their money, the gold and silver. And militarily, they were losing territory here and there. And so they switched over. You know, if you don't run the government, hey, start a religion and run that. And, you know, the Catholic Church has confiscated much of the wealth for the last 1,700 years with their bullshit stories like purgatory and limbo, two other places of heaven and hell that you can go to. And, you know, it used to be for 1,500 years, it was forbidden usury. But then the Catholic Church, when they needed some money, they said, yeah, let's loan money at usury, and we'll have our Jew partners over here. They'll do it, because then it's a sin for them, which they don't care. And, you know, we'll split the profits. So it's all a big, giant Jew scam, folks. And but the woman, she absolutely, positively knew everything I was saying about the two-seed line message, validated it, said it was correct.
I'm getting more notes as you talk. I got more notes. So we're going to be on for a while. It's interesting because what you were saying that this female Jew was telling you is further.
Lois was her name, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Kenny and Lois.
Kenny and Lois. Anyway, that the double witness to that is when the congressional aide by the name of Rosenthal confessed to Professor White about what the Jews were up to, and Rosenthal was found with a bullet in his head when he got off the plane in Israel, and they put it in the news that it was an attempted hijacking, which is a complete lie. The Mossad took him out and put a bullet in his head, because he exposed everything that you're talking about as well, plus all the political stuff the Jews are up to. Because
basically, that book was called The Hidden Tyranny, and anybody can get it online for free.
The Hidden Tyranny, yeah. I think I have a PDF copy of that.
I'll send you one anyway, in case your folks want it. You can forward it to them.
Yeah, sure. Send it to me, and I'll make it available to anybody that asks. I also list it on my website on the recommended reading page. Now, I got a bunch of questions here. First of all, you talked about the American Institute of Theology, which is run by Kingdom Identity Ministries and Mike Hollimore in the Ozarks. I want folks to know I took that course almost 20 years ago, and it's probably, as Bob said, it's one of the best courses I ever took. And the beautiful part about it is you take it in sections, just like a regular course through the mail, and you have to take an exam after each section. Now, it's an open book exam, so don't get all afraid of that. And they're really, really, it's not intended to intimidate anybody or whatever. And I used to get some really nice notes from the ladies that work with Mike Eyre. But the point of it is that each section you did, you took a test, you passed the test, then they would send you the next session, and it's not an expensive course. And when you're all done, you get this beautiful certificate to hang on your wall. Now, I'm assuming they still do that, but I know I have mine.
They do.
And, And like you said, for just a couple $100, you can get a course that's going to take you from step one to step 20 and basically give you the rudimentary theology of what we call identity. I don't call it Christian identity because I don't want to be associated with the mainstream churches at all. So I just call it identity. The identity message, because we identify who's who in the zoo. And that's the main thing with that. Now, Adam is listening in. He's out there in California, and he wants to know if you will, and this is only one of the questions I got. I got a whole list here for you. But he wants to know here, let's see, I think the Freemasons made their move around the same time, talking about the middle 1800s, and he wants to know if you could talk a bit about the origins of the Freemasons.
Yeah, actually, the Masons, or Masonos, as it were, they go way back to, in the B.C. area, around 1,000, 2,000 B.C., way back there. And they were the builders, and they built all the great cathedrals and castles and so forth all around Europe and all over the place, northern Africa. And they even go back to the area. They were started by Enoch and Job, who built the pyramids. And from there, the workers, they put together a union, for lack of a better term. And so they were the bricklayer builders, as it were, union. And they were called the Masons or Masonos sometimes. Anyway, coming forth, they were all good guys. And they would go to an area where a new building, and if they knew the secret handshake and knew the secret words and stuff, then they were allowed to be a builder there and so forth, because the people knew they had the skill of having built before. Anyway, Rothschild, he hired Adam Weishaupt, who was supposedly a Jew that converted to Catholicism, which is a lie. You can't convert a devil to one of Yahweh's children. It doesn't happen, folks. You can't change a leopard into an elephant. It doesn't work. But anyway, so he took over in the Bavarian lodge, and he formed the Illuminati, and he started changing the Masons and so forth. Most people think it just goes up to 33 degrees. It goes up to, I forget if it's 92 or 97. But those aren't even spoken about unless you've hit the 33rd degree. And I sent information out on that a long time ago. One of the guys that was on the video, it probably isn't there anymore, but he was in 92nd or 97th, whatever it was. It was in the 90s, and it was one of those two numbers. Anyway, so they changed it from being a building builder to a spiritual builder. So supposedly that's the deal. And so then pretty much anybody could join, but you have to ask to join. I actually myself went up to third degree Mason when I lived in California before I knew the two-seed line message. And the reason for that is because half of all your lawyers and judges in the world are Masons. And so I figured, well, I'll get up and when I get done with my law course and so forth, then I'll go say, Brother Masons, point me in the right direction. And I'll just have a nice paved road being a lawyer and maybe be a judge or politician, because remember, all your judges and politicians, 99% are lawyers. And lawyers are actually forbidden. The original 13th Amendment forbid any titles of nobility of taking any position of power, which would be a politician or a judge. And because lawyers carry the royalty called Esquire, that's a title, the Esquire. You'll see that after a lot of lawyers' names. So anyway, Adam Weishaupt, he took it over in Bavaria, and then eventually it came here. George Washington, he was a Mason. Many of your presidents were Masons. And so they keep it pretty well controlled. But you got to understand, prior to Rothschild and Weishaupt in May 1st, 1776, is when he declared, which was just a few months before July 4th, 1776, when this country was founded. Just a few months before that, May 1st, 1776, is when they started the Illuminati. And so that's a totally Satan group. And this country was founded. many of the founding fathers were Masons, but you got to understand, they were good guys back then. And it started changing with Weishaupt as they took over from lodge to lodge and country to country. And transportation and communication back then was very slow compared to what it is today. You can make a call anywhere in the world today in seconds, and you can fly anywhere in the world in a day. So, but back then it wasn't so. So it took a long time to take over and then change people's minds and so forth. But the Jew, if nothing else, is patient. And the one thing I will say about the Jew in their favor, they obey their father Satan to the letter. They do everything evil, everything trying to destroy the white race, the Arab race, and the Persian race. By the way, if you folks know any Arabs or Persians, you tell them about that the Jews are the children of Satan, and you'll have a new friend, because they think the Americans and Europeans are stupid because they don't know that. It's right in the scripture. It's in their Quran. It's in our scripture. And, many Arabs that I know and Persians, I've talked to them about it, and they say, well, how did you guys know? Well, you know, New York is the great Satan, because that's World Jew headquarters, not Israel or Itzalai. World Jew headquarters is New York City. And all those bankers there, the Federal Reserve that they have, and of course they control the Bank of England and all the other central banks. But that's how the Illuminati, it started. But it came from good beginnings and pure beginnings, and it was just a builder's type of union thing, and for thousands of years. And then it changed when the Jew took it over.
Right.
When the old man Rothschild, Mayor Amschel Bauer, who changed his name to Rothschild, which means Red Shield, when the old man died in 1812, he owned half of all the known wealth in the world. Half. And he gave that half to his five sons to set up banking houses in England, France, Austria, Italy, and Germany. And ever since then, they've been running the world, and America wasn't much way back then in 1812. So, but they controlled that bank. They had Alexander Hamilton, who was a treasonous traitor to America, and unfortunately George Washington appointed him the first Secretary of Treasury, and he was a Rothschild agent. And thank God Aaron Burr, they got in a duel with him on the White House lawn and killed him. And that was the end of Alexander Hamilton, and he can go straight to hell with his father, Satan.
Yeah, amen to that. Now, I wanted to give a little story about what happened to me to reinforce what you were saying about the Catholic Church. Many years ago, probably 30-some years ago, I lived across the street from the pastor to an Assembly of God church, and the church was in my backyard, and the preacher was across the street from me, so I was right in the middle of it. I ended up joining that church for a little over a year at one point, but the pastor and I got into a conversation one day because I was reading some comic books called Chick Publications. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with that or any of the listeners, but Chick was a guy that came out of the Catholic Church, and so he was putting these comic books out to expose what the Catholic Church was up to, the pedophilia, the abortion of the children, that the nuns, when they get pregnant, what they do with the children, all this. Well, I had never heard any of this stuff. My first two wives were Catholics. One was a Roman Catholic. The other one was an Eastern Orthodox Catholic. So I understood a little bit about the Catholic Church, and I'd never heard anything like this. So I'm reading these chick publications that my friend is feeding to me, and I'm just astounded. So I asked the pastor over for a cup of tea one day, and we're sitting at the house having a cup of tea. And I said to him, I said, would you mind answering some questions for me? Because I found out he started out as a Catholic priest in Morocco. He was an Indian guy. And he converted to Christianity, true Christianity, and became a preacher in the Assemblies of God. So being that he had grown up as a Catholic over in Morocco, I figured he would be a good source. So I said, if I give you these chick publications about the Catholic Church, would you take a look at them, and then you and I can get back together and have a discussion? And he said, sure, Dan, I'll do that. So I gave him, I didn't give him all of them, but I took maybe six or eight of them, and I gave them to him. And a couple weeks later, he said, Dan, I read those publications. And I said, good. I said, come on over, we'll have another cup of tea and you can discuss it. And during our conversation, he told me something. I was astounded. And he said, first of all, what they're saying about the Catholic Church is true. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, it's true. He goes, it's actually worse than that. He said, Americans don't understand, because Catholicism in America is what we call Catholicism light. He said, Catholicism in the rest of the world is a political system and a basically a mob type system. He said, for instance, in Morocco and throughout Northern Africa, the local priest is like a mob boss. He has ultimate power in that area. And he said, in a lot of these countries, especially these third world countries, he said, believe it or not, it's the local priest that leads them into black magic rituals. So he said, the whole idea that the Catholic Church is a political strong arm system, he said, that's 100% true. And he started telling me a little bit about what he learned in seminary and the things he saw and how he came out of it. And from that point on, I was just astounded. And I've been trying to tell people. And now, well, this was back in the 1980s. So everybody thought I was crazy, obviously. And that the Pope was this great and holy guy and everything else. And I've been trying to tell him. I said, the Pope is not. And now we've got a Pope that's both the black Pope and the white Pope, in a sense, because he's a Jesuit. And a lot of people don't know about the Jesuits. The Jesuits was founded by the Jews, Loyola. It's always been run by the Jews. It's the basically the secret police of the Jewish, or not the Jewish, but the Catholic system. And the black Pope has always been a Jew, the head of the Jesuits. And the white Pope is whatever Pope that they allow to become Pope. And he's the face to the rest of the world to make it look like he's a good guy. Well, now we've got a Jesuit Jew, Ratzinger, in there as Pope. So now they've taken over both the position of black Pope and white Pope. And this, of course, this Jesuit Jew is saying absolutely abominable things. I mean, I can't believe anybody calls himself a Catholic and would say or follow anything that this son of a bitch says. And a lot of my Catholic friends have told me that the good news is that there's a civil war going on right now in the Catholic Church, because what they call the church militant, and you can go online, they've got some YouTube channels that I watch. The church militant has been saying that they are separating from popery. Remember, when the pilgrims came to this country, they were anti-popery. They considered the Pope the Antichrist. They considered Catholicism antithetical to the teachings of Christ. In fact, the original colonists did not want Catholics to ever come here. In fact, Maryland, if you think about it, the state of Maryland was a colony, and it was a colony set up to keep the Catholics in one area. So only Catholics came into Maryland, and they were supposed to stay there and leave the rest of the colonies alone. So that was how they compromised. But in the beginning, they didn't want Catholics coming to America. And when they backed off of that and did let them come in, they were all supposed to stay in Maryland. So this is a little bit of history that most people don't know, but it fits in with what we see going on in the world today. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, I don't have anything really good to say about the Catholic Church, having been, I served kindergarten in the first 5 years in the Catholic school system. And on my mother's side, they were Catholics. On my father's side was Presbyterian. But anyway, so I was raised a Catholic, and you folks don't realize, you know, they say the Pope made a statement, I think it was about 2 years ago or so, and I sent this out to my group. They said, you know, we have 155,000 priests around the world, and only 8,000 are pedophiles. Do you remember that statement?
I forgot all about that, yeah.
Yeah, only 8,000 are pedophiles. Well, first off, Jews always lie about the numbers, so you can make that 8,000, 80,000, because I would figure at least half of them are. That's World Pedophile Headquarters. Untold, I don't know how many children they sodomize, both boys and girls. We know that when they came over here and they had Spain and Portugal and France coming over here and Italy, not so much Italy, but those are the big four Catholic because they all their languages trace back to Latin. When they came over here to the Western Hemisphere, they murdered over 50 million Indians of all the various types, from the Aztec and Mayans and the Seminoles and, you know, everywhere from North, Central, and South America. They murdered over 50 million people, flat-out murder, and the Catholic Church blessed them for it. So, I mean, first off, and the Catholics are murderers, the church, because they sanction that. Yeah, kill all those people. If they don't believe in the Catholic Church and, you know, our story of God and Christ, then you kill them automatically. And that's, they bless you for that, and, you know, so you feel good about it. And they don't realize the confessional, by the way, also, when you go in to confess, in the old days, I'm sure they still do it today, but the people would tell them their deepest, darkest secrets, and then they'd have that information and they'd sell it wherever needed to other people, politicians and so forth. So the Catholic Church, you might as well just get on Facebook, for instance, or Twitter, of course, if you're Trump these days, but get on there and just put out all the crimes that you committed. That was their network. You got to understand how corrupt it is, folks. They've been playing for 1,700 plus years. They've been playing this game of stealing people's money and property and so forth. That's why outside they used to be the largest landowner. McDonald's is now, but as far as area goes. But the Catholic Church, they would tell you, they'd say, look, you know, your parents, they're in the purgatory, and which is like a halfway house to hell and heaven. And so your parents are in purgatory. But if when you die, you know, you give us all your land and your farm and cattle and everything and your gold and silver, give it all to us. You know, we'll pray for your parents, and we'll cut their sentence in purgatory from 20,000 years down to maybe just a few hundred years. And so you'd want to do anything for your parents, and so you'd say, yeah, and you'd sign over everything to the Catholic Church when you died. That's worse than the probate courts that you have here in America, and because you're going to go through probate court, 95% of people, they don't have a trust set up, and so they're not going to avoid probate court. 95% are going to go through probate court. And then the courts take money, the lawyer takes money, the appraiser for the property takes money, the CPA, he takes money, and on. It's just a gravy train for them. So the governments, and the there's a great book by Richard Kelly Hoskins, I forget the name of it at the moment, but anyway, he talks about always there were three groups of people down through history. There was the warlords, which these days we call the kings or the governments and so forth, and then you had the priesthood on the other side, and their job is to keep the peace, the people peaceful, and have them believing in the hereafter, whatever kind of BS story you want to tell them. And then you have the merchants, and the merchants are the ones that make all the money. And in the old days, before ships got really cooking, merchants would come from all along. There's a desert strip that it goes from China in the Pacific Ocean, all across China, all across the Arabic countries, and then down into Africa and all across the Sahara Desert. And there's a whole desert strip that goes all along there. And so the camel caravans, which could be anywhere from 5,000 camels to 20,000 camels, would go back and forth through that desert strip from one end of the world to the other. And these were the merchants. And on each camel, there was enough wealth that if you could just steal all the wealth on one camel, you'd be set for life, no problem. So you had the warlords, which their job, they got paid to, if anybody tried to steal anything or raid the camel caravans or criminals, you know, they would kill them. You wouldn't even, you know, they'd try you, but you're going death. That's what's happening to you. And then the priesthood, they'd keep all the people peaceful. So the two big groups hired by the merchants were the warlords and the priesthood. And one made war and the other kept everything at peace. Now, if two warlords were having war, and here come the camel caravans, those warlords would stop on a dime, and they would let that 5,000 to 20,000 camels pass through between the war zone there, going to wherever they're going, and nobody would dare touch one of those camels. Richard, he wrote about that in his books real well, and it was also in a movie years ago with Sean Connery and another British actor. And they went up into the Himalayas, and they were old British soldiers. And you saw the camel caravans in there, and they had saw the Masonic and the symbols and stuff in the Himalaya mountains. I forget the name of the movie. But at any
I think I have the name of the book. Because I met Richard Kelly Hoskins at a seminar by Pete Peters back in the 90s. What a man. Richard Kelly Hoskins is an amazing man. Yeah. But I bought a copy of every book he had on the table, and I think the book you're talking about is In the Beginning, The Story of the International Trade Cartel.
Yeah, that's probably it. He wrote five books. I've read all five. It's been a long time. But, yeah, I believe he's still alive, too.
Yeah, I've got his email address if you ever want it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, he wrote a book called Our Nordic Race is one of them, and that's an excellent book. And also, for today especially, The Vigilantes of Christendom would be an excellent primer.
Yeah, he's a great writer and great historian. True historicity for you folks. Historicity is exact time, place, form, and event. History is made up of two words, his story, which means anything. That's generally what mainstream media is, his story, which is the Jew story. But historicity is it's exactly what happens. The only good thing I can say about the Catholic Church, getting back to them, is their archives. They've kept archives for the last 1,700 years. You can't get in there unless you, the Pope allows you to or something. But they keep very great records in there and so forth. And I believe, it's my opinion, that the Alexandrian Library in Egypt, when they said that was burned down and everything destroyed, I believe the Romans went in there and they took all the books and not books but scrolls back then, and they took them to Rome, and then they burned the building down and threw in a bunch of toilet paper or whatever to make it look like stuff burned down that were scrolls, but they weren't. And then they kept them, and when they transferred from the Roman Empire to the Holy Roman Empire, they put those in the archives there. And Rothschild, obviously, since 1826, he controls the Catholic Church, so he has access to all of that. That's your true historicity, folks, what was written at the time. And back then, historians tried to do their very best to be accurate. They weren't one-sided like left wing or right wing. And what a lot of people don't think about, you know, the end times, and I believe we're certainly in those right now, Yahweh says, you know, in the end times, I'll put my sheep on the right and the goats or Satan's kids on the left, or people that follow Satan, which is just as bad. A pure white race, you can follow Satan. You're not on the right anymore. You're on the left. And so that's what you have today.
Yeah. Is that movie that you're referring to entitled The Man Who Would Be King?
Yep, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, Ralph.
Sean Connery and who was it? Not Richard Harris, but I think Peter O'Toole, maybe.
Well, that'd be a good pair right there. It was made in 1975.
Yeah. Yeah, a good movie to watch for historicity. You'll see them, they're up in the Himalayas, and they talk to the priest up there. You know, they have different religions there. It wasn't Hindu, I don't think. It was something else. But anyway, he opened up the treasures, and he saw the Masonic symbols there, which is the square and the compass. And he saw that as a on the ring of the guy, and so he said, oh, you know, the priesthood, he's figuring, well, these are the guys that have been written about, and now they've come here, and so they get all this treasure and stuff, because we're to give them their stuff back. And just like when the ships came over to America, you know, the Aztecs and the Mayans and so forth, they thought that was the great white hope, you know, coming over there, and they were told that, you know, white people would be there, you know, and so, you know, they welcomed everybody. They weren't thinking about war, but they didn't realize, you know, that the Spanish and the Portuguese, you know, were going to kill 50 million of them.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Ralph up in Canada is sending this information. Apparently he's looking it up. In the movie, The Man Who Would Be King, it says that Michael Caine is Sean Connery.
Michael Caine, that's
And
yeah.
Christopher Plummer played Rudyard Kipling in the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a great movie, folks. If you want to see some of this history, if you have interest in it, and give you a different perspective. You know, it's one of those movies. You know, most of the movies today, you have lousy actors, lousy actresses. The writers are even worse. They keep rehashing the old thing. You know, you don't have any real classics anymore.
No, exactly right. I'll tell you what, Bob, we're doing a lot of history and stuff, which is excellent. I'm getting a lot of very positive feedback from the audience right now. But everybody's real concerned over what's going on in the country right now. So we can pick this up. In fact, you have an open invitation anytime you want to come back and be on the program with me. You're free to anytime. If you want to make it a regular Sunday morning thing, that'll be fine with me too. But right now, we're on the precipice, I think, of some earth-changing events. So for the sake of brevity here, because we've got an hour and a half almost into this thing, and I don't want to keep you all day, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk with what you know about what the hell's going on in this country and the world right now.
Okay.
Before we do that, though, any contact information you have, would you give it out?
Yeah, if anybody wants to get on my mailing list, it's twoseedlinemessage@yahoo.com. That's TWOSEEDLINEMESSAGE. all one word, toseedlinemessage@yahoo.com. If you don't have it, Dan has it. He's on mine, I'm on his, and so forth.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, so what the hell is going on, Bob, as far as you know? Because I know you know a lot of people, so fill me in with what you know.
Yeah, there's two areas that everybody is concerned, and we'll address them one at a time. The first and most important is this cervasive virus nonsense, that I call it, because it doesn't exist. John Rappaport, who's a top investigative journalist, he got a hold of all the CDC paperwork, even as late as September. And in there, they say they have no samples of COVID-19. Zero. Well, if supposedly millions of people have got it and tens of thousands have died from it, how come you couldn't have one sample of COVID-19? And if you don't have a sample of COVID-19, how could you ever test for it, since you don't have anything to test? And how could you ever make a vaccine for it if you don't have a sample of it? This is a scam, folks. And I've sent out articles also that the Irish government has come out and said it doesn't exist. The British government has come out and said it doesn't exist. John Rappaport, he put out the paperwork, and you can go to his website and see it, and he keeps updating it all the time on this cervasive virus nonsense. See, first they started calling it coronavirus. Then they switched the name to COVID-19. I call it cervasive virus because you might as well drink a beer because it doesn't exist. It's just absolute nonsense. It doesn't exist. Well, what are all these people dying from? First off, it has a 90, they say it's a flu, the seasonal flu, and they've changed it all around. Do you know, I forget the exact number, something like 60,000 or something people die a year from seasonal flu. That's not the exact number. Don't quote me on it. But guess how many died this year of seasonal flu? 800.
Right, because they're saying that they're dying of COVID.
Yeah, so, and these are numbers that have come out from the CDC. First off, the CDC, Robert Kennedy of the famous Kennedy family, he says that the CDC has nothing to do with health. All they are is a vaccination company, that they patent vaccines. There's never been a vaccine in the history of the world that's been proven to do any good anyway. And this current one that we have here, people are dying. They take the shot, they keel over, and they die. Other people, they take it, and they go home, and they're sick to death, and it changes your DNA. But worst of all, and you have several different companies that are putting this out, which are all Jew-owned, Pfizer, and I don't know all the names of them because I don't care. But what the CDC, what they do is they get a patent, and then they have the patent. And so what they do is they sell the vaccine, and they make money. And they make hundreds of millions and billions of dollars every year selling vaccines that, A, don't work, and number two, are bad for your health. I put out a little cartoon type thing where it had a picture of God telling Abraham, supposedly, gee, Abraham, I don't know how to make an immune system, so you're going to have to come up with how to make vaccines because I'm not good enough to do it, something like that.
Right.
So God made your immune system, folks. That's all you need. Keep your immune system healthy, and that will protect you from all the viruses, bacteria, and fungus there is out there. Now, they rate the people dying as supposedly of COVID-19, but since it doesn't exist, they're not dying of that. So it's seasonal flu. And they rate them by the year, you know, a group between 5 and 10, 10 and 20, 20 and 30, and so forth, on up to people like 70 years old. Well, even the people at 70 years old, they have a 99-point-something survival rate. It's just the flu. You think you have COVID-19, it's just the flu. If you ever get tested, and I highly suggest you don't get tested at all, because in there, they're trying to jam that thing up your nose, and it pierces a little membrane there in the brain, and then it will put that DNA-changing mark of the beast 666 in your brain, and you'll start changing. And this is all done for population reduction. If you go to the Georgia Guidestones, you can look that up on the internet. It's a monument, stone monument that was built, I'm sure, by the Rockefeller family on behest of their other family members, the Rothschild. But they put it up in Georgia, and it says at the top, we have 6 billion people, and we need to reduce it to 500 million and maintain that level in harmony with nature. Well, now you have 7.5 billion people, so if they're going to get down to 500 million people, they got to kill 7 billion people. And the best way to do that is get them to take that shot or take the test and commit suicide. Now, I can't tell you how important this is. This is like 100 times more important than saving America. Do not take this if you're pure white, because you'll be cut off from Yahweh forever. Do not take it. Think about all this. Why are they trying to force people to take a vaccine for something that doesn't exist? David Icke, he did a real good video on this that I sent out to my group. And he makes the thing, you know, this whole face mask thing. This is all about you continuing. They tell you, oh, it stops the germs. It doesn't stop any germs. And what it does is you keep breathing into that mask and then breathing back the germs that you're supposed to be exhaling, and that's going to get you sick down the line. Don't be wearing these stupid face diapers.
Right.
Then they got you standing 6 feet apart. Well, most people I like to be 6 feet apart from anyway, just from my martial art background. I don't like people getting too close because I'm going to have to kill them or something or whatever I do. But at any rate, I mean, they're even telling people, oh, you have to wear face masks when you have sex.
Yeah,
I mean, folks, this is lunacy.
Yeah.
But the people buy it because they buy everything that mainstream media says. The Jew-controlled media, which it only used to be the newspapers back in Thomas Jefferson's days, and he said that nothing can be believed that's written in that rag. And he wrote that to a fellow because it was just lies, nothing but lies. And we wish we had something anywhere near as honest as Thomas Jefferson's days. But now we have not only bad newspapers, Jews newspapers, as I call them, TV, the Talmud Vision, that's the worst. That's like having a Jew rabbi right in your house to teach your children. Nothing but lies, mainstream media. The most important thing Trump has ever said in his whole presidency was, it's all fake news. And
right.
He's correct. And that extends over into radio. It's all fake news on when you listen to the radio. And there is no music anymore on radio. It's all just noise. Jungle rock, all that rap crap, whatever they call it. And then the books and magazines that come out. It's all just mass brainwashing, folks. You got to stop listening to that. Do not take that shot. Do not take the test. Now, every test that they have you take, if it comes back positive, what is it positive for? It ain't for a coronavirus or COVID-19 because it doesn't exist. So what are you testing positive for? Elon Musk, who has Tesla Motors, he went and did the test, and he did it 4 different times on the same day. 2 came back positive, 2 came back negative. He made the statement, he says, my family isn't, taking this shot or anything like this. All these tests are fake. They've had people that drive up to a clinic supposedly to get a test, and they're told to wait out in their car till they're called. And they're waiting out there an hour or something, and they leave and go home. And the next thing you know, the clinic calls them and says, oh, you tested positive for coronavirus or COVID-19. Well, they never took the test.
Right.
Then there's people that they send a letter to the house, to the address for the person, says, oh, you tested positive for COVID-19. The guy died 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Folks, like, this is the most phony thing you can possibly imagine. It's all designed for population control. It's all satanic. It's all Jew. Why are they doing this now? For one simple reason. These are the end times, and Satan has but a short time, and he's got to try to do his population reduction. And if he doesn't get it done, which he won't get it done, because Yahweh says if the time were not shortened, all the flesh on earth would be dead. But he's coming back soon. I mean, this is going to be the most glorious time you can imagine, Yahweh returning, and Satan and all the fallen angels and all their DNA demon-spawned kids, the Jews, and all the mixed mongrels and so forth are all gone, and they're all going by fire, says Yahweh. Don't believe me. Read your scriptures.
Yep. Amen to that. All right.
That's that topic. The next topic is what's going on here in America with the election being stolen and so forth. And as everybody knows, Trump got at least, I've heard a couple of different numbers, anywhere from 70 to 80% of the population who voted for Trump. Well, how did Biden win? Because the machines are rigged. I mean, we used to rig slot machines out here in the old days. I probably shouldn't say that. But you can rig any kind of machine. And guys have come before the judge and, said that they, change it and so forth. It's all the software. Dominion, which is the name of the machine now, it used to be Sequoia. Well, Sequoia machines were found 15 years ago to be where they changed the votes and so forth, and they were fake. So Dominion bought them up and changed the name to Dominion. It's still the same old Sequoia machine with updated software that's faster and quicker. And so they put in ratios of, for every vote that comes through, forget who it's for, but 1.4 of those are going to Biden, and so 60% go to Trump. You know, how they divide between two, and they put the ratio to favor Biden. So it doesn't matter what. They had some machines that were, they had so many Trump votes in an area that they had to print up quickly a bunch of votes to shove through the machine so that you could get enough of people voting for Biden in there. But they had to print up the ballots and so forth, that they didn't have enough. It showed Trump won, but they wanted Biden to win. They had to make more ballots and shove them through the machine to get the percentage. So it shifted to Biden. It's all a scam. Why? Because the big thing about all of this is that, and it's no question to anybody, Satan has run this planet for the last 75,000 years. You go back in historicity, and that's when the fall happened, and he brought the blacks from the Dog Star planet in the Sirius constellation. We've talked about this before, and he brought them here on this planet in 75,000 years, and he was cast down here by Michael the archangel, and Azazel, Satan, he was an archangel. And he was in charge of this one-quarter sector of the universe. Where can you find out this information? Start getting Wesley Swift and William Gales and Bertrand Comperet's material. Comperet and Swift you can get from American Institute of Theology. Look it up. William Gales, I don't know where you get it these days. His widow, Roxanne Gale, If she's still around, she was in California. She had all of William Gale's stuff. He was a mentor to Jim Wickstrom, who both Jim and I knew well, and did radio shows. I used to do Monday. Jim did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Dan did Friday on Republic Radio, as I recall. Anyway, Roxanne Gale, she had all of Gale's material. I got it all, and brilliant stuff. And so it's all in there. But anyway, when Satan was cast down, he's ruled it ever since. When Yahweh as Yahshua came here 2,000 years ago, remember, Satan tried to corrupt him, not knowing who he was. He said, you know, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt not, you know, tempt the Lord thy God, or however the phrase was back then. They like to use the word Lord. Lord, if you look in the Strong's Concordance, it talks about the devil and Satan. So, you know, you don't use Lord, but the script writers in there, the monks down through the ages, you know, they like to use the word Lord referring to Yahweh, and they shouldn't do that. But at any rate, so Satan has been controlling this world ever since. And he told Yahshua, Yahweh is Yahshua, he says, see all these kingdoms here in the world? He says, I'll give them to you to rule if you'll worship me. Well, he was running them then. He's running them now.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is that, you know, you have, and how does he run them? He runs it through his kids. And the primary kid is the Rothschild family. And they control every central bank of every country that there is. And so they get to print up money out of thin air and get to spend it into existence first. I'd like to do that. What I'd do is buy all the land and kick everybody off except the white race.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what you have, folks. You have Satan running this world. The governments are all corrupt. They've all been bribed or they've all been blackmailed. By being pedophiles or drug addicts or the bribes, all they care about is their private numbered Swiss bank accounts, I like to say, because politicians, that, you know, they always got their hand out, you know. I was in Mexico for 8 years from 2000 to 2008, did my radio shows from there, and, you know, I worked with a big developer down there who was very wealthy. And it's just pretty much common knowledge that all the politicians, you take a bribe, you get anything to do. But the politicians in Mexico, they're like Boy Scouts compared to Washington, D.C., the District of the Kabbalah. I mean, they just lie, cheat, and steal every chance they get. So what you have now is you have what's happening is you have this power thing, and this is actually a military operation of what's happening in America today. And you're going to see John F. Kennedy Jr. He's going to be coming out of his fake death that he did 20-some years ago. And he had to fake his death because him and Hillary were both running for Senator of New York. And he caught wind that Hillary was going to have him killed. Hillary, by the way, and Bill, I'm sure, knows if he didn't order some also, but certainly the Jew witch Hillary, and she's a Jew because her family name was Rodham and her father was a CPA, but she's had over 140 people around their governorship and presidency and senatorship and so forth, over 140 people that we know of that accidentally died. Half of them by suicide, shooting themselves in the center of their chest with a gun, which is not how people with a gun commit suicide. But she was going to kill John F. Kennedy Jr. And anyway, he faked his death so that she could have the senator seat. But what John F. Kennedy Jr. has wanted to do all along, and he's wanted to find the people and the group and so forth, who had killed his father. and then killed his uncle, as it were, Robert Kennedy. Anyway, Robert Kennedy Jr., he's well aware of this. John Kennedy Jr., I believe he's Juan O'Savian. You can find a lot of good audio articles. You won't see a video except of his feet, as it were. And he's here in Vegas, and he's in Trump Towers. But he does radio shows from time to time with Robert David Steele. Robert David Steele is ex-CIA, and he's put together the best I've ever seen or could ever even imagine, many volumes, I forget how many volumes, of books on the pedophiles all around the world. And all the big thing that all this world has is it's all run by pedophiles. The politicians, the judges, the bankers. Are there good people that are not pedophiles in there? Yeah, I'm sure there are. But the bottom line is all over the world, there's this pedophile thing. Go to robertdavidsteele.com or whatever his website is, and you'll see lots of articles about that. And the interviews that he does with Juan O'Savian. I'm looking this up now. Yeah, it's robertdavidsteele.com. You'll see some great stuff. Also, Ignatius Piazza, who runs Funsite, which is a big out here in Pahrump, which is just the other side of the mountain from Vegas. He trains more people in firearms training than all the other firearms training places that there are in America. He trains more combined than all of them combined. I'm a life member out there. I go out there and shoot all the time, have for 20-some years, however long he's had it. And he's top-notch. He learned from the best, which was Chuck Taylor, unfortunately, who passed away a few months ago. Chuck invented the four-gun combat master, which is pistol, submachine gun, shotgun, and rifle, tactical rifle. And they're all tactical, tactical pistol, tactical machine gun, tactical shotgun, tactical rifle, four-gun combat master. It's an eight-hour course, 2 hours on each gun, nonstop. You have to score 95% or better. There's no lunch break, no bathroom break, nothing, just 8 hours straight of shooting, and every 2 hours you change guns. And you have to score that 95% or better from one gun to the other, to the other, to the other. Only nine guys have ever completed that, and Chuck was the first one, and Piazza was the second. And that was the four-gun combat master. Nobody will ever get that again. Excuse me, because Chuck Taylor died. But the best trainer left on the planet is Piazza. Anyway, you go to frontsite.com, and he has articles on there because he's tapped in fairly close to what's going on with Trump and the rest of the people. Then you have Mike Adams of the Health Ranger. He's tapped in there pretty good, and he has Brighton, which is similar to BitChute. But that's his website, and you can post videos there, Brighton. And he's real close and has a lot of connections in the military. But anyway, that's just a few of the people. But what's going on is you have a military operation, and you're going to see in the next 8, 10, 12 days, whatever, mass arrest throughout the country. I would highly suggest everybody stock up on food, water, guns, and ammo. And you're going to see, just sit back and relax, you're going to see these pedophiles arrested, taken down, these treasonous traitors in government arrested, taken down. This is a military operation. This is not going through the kangaroo court of the Supreme Court and the New York courts and all that crap. Those guys are corrupt. But what you, this is a military operation. Those people are going to be taken to Gitmo. He just sent two big ships down there, prison ships. Besides, they had built up Gitmo, huge. That's in Cuba for you new people or young people never heard of Gitmo. And so they're going to be taken down there. They're going to be tried for treason. They have all the evidence for the last 15 years of everybody on planet Earth in government. You know, they have every email. They have every phone call. They have every text message, every kind of information on them, all about this pedophile Operation Ring. It's all being taken down. When Trump came in, you know, from day one when he took office and Hillary lost, you thought it was, you know, oh, they hate Trump because he beat Hillary, you know. Well, they apparently didn't wind up rigging the machines back then because they figured Hillary was a walk in the park. Or it was a military operation to rig to put Trump into office. Who knows? But the bottom line is JFK Jr. and Trump had a great relationship back when he was alive, as it were, before he had to fake his own death. And so they have all the information. They know who did what and so forth. And you're seeing, I mean, if Trump is going to be out of office in the by the 20th of the month, and Joe Biden's going to be inaugurated, why is Nancy Pelosi so upset and wants to get him impeached right away and so forth? As it stands now, I send out an email, and he's in Cheyenne Mountain. There have been a few assassination attempts on him. But he's pretty well protected by the military out there in Secret Service. And they're orchestrating all of this, and it's going to happen. It's coming down. And even if they whack Trump, you know, he's going to declare martial law under the Insurrection Act. And so you're going to see this happen. And, you know, they've threatened his family and so forth. And I'm sure he's got them well protected. But the Democrats are just going crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, just absolutely crazy. And Joe Biden, he doesn't know what time of day it is. You know, he's so senile and out of his mind anyway. And the reason a lot of these people are out of their mind and do these wacky things is because of a thing called adrenochrome. Now, what adrenochrome is when they take these young children as pedophiles, what they do is they torture them before they rape them. And they torture them to get that adrenaline into the bloodstream. And once that adrenaline gets into that bloodstream, they take that blood and they drink it. And it's sold, from what I hear, it goes for like, you know, $50,000 for like a 10-ounce bottle or something. Only the, you know, very wealthy, the politicians and the all the freaks in Hollywood, you know, buy it and so forth. But, you know, there's a thing I sent out. It was called Frazzle Drip, which was a thing that was taken. This was taken from Wiener's laptop, who he was a pedophile and a freak. He was married to Huba Abedin, who was, she was Hillary's right-hand man, or right-hand woman. Excuse me. And so this was confiscated, his laptop, by some New York City detectives. And several of them committed suicide after seeing what was on there. And they all got sick to their stomach when they saw, because Hillary actually... And what it says in this, they took this little girl, she's about 6 years old, and they actually cut her face off surgically, and the skin and everything, and were wearing it to terrorize a girl, and the little girl, she's pleading, kill me, you know, just put me out of my misery, kill me. And, you know, they're all laughing, her and Huma Abedin, who are lesbians, obviously. And then they drain her blood and drink her blood. This is Hillary Rodham Clinton and Huma Abedin doing this. This is not me saying it. I'm telling you that this was on the laptop of Louis Wiener, and this is on the Internet, and you can look it up yourself. And if you'd like a thing of it, I sent it to Dan. I'm sure he can send it out. It's called Frazzle Drip. But anyway, Robert David Steele, he goes through in his multi-volume of the pedophiles and who all the players are, the Queen of England, those weirdos, and the King and Queen of the Netherlands. What they do is they take the children and they have areas, you know, the big, huge areas where they have their castle, and they bring people over and they hunt the children. And so the children are, you know, just like you would hunt deer or rabbits or something, you know, and the children are running out in the fields, and then they hunt them down and shoot them for sport. These are the people that are running your world, folks.
Yeah, it's sick now, as sick as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, to me, I hate pedophiles. I hate Jews the most because they're Yahweh's enemies, and Yahweh's enemies are my enemies. But a close second are pedophiles, and many of them are Jews anyway. But
right.
But to harm little children, and it's bad enough that, I mean, and these people have sex with newborns, and the baby dies there while they're having sex. They don't care. They just throw the body away. And what they do with most of the bodies, because Ted Gunderson, who was ex-head of the FBI of four major cities and was a real good friend of mine, lived here in Vegas, and I used to have him on my show, and Jim had him on his show. Ted and I used to get together all the time. I go to his house, he come to mine, and we talk. And he got together with John Van de Kamp, and he wrote a book called The Franklin Cover-Up. John Van de Kamp did, and it was all about the stealing of children. He didn't get into all the depth, but the stealing and kidnapping of children and the raping of children. Well, there's 300,000 to 800,000. The numbers are fuzzy. Just here in America, every year that disappear, millions worldwide. Well, where are all the bodies?
Right.
I mean, where are all the bodies? Well, we found out, and this was on the Internet, so the bottom line is they tested hamburger meat and sausage at McDonald's, and they found out that 95% of McDonald's meat contained human remains. It's not me saying it, folks. I didn't write the article, and I didn't do the testing, but that's what's out there. Well, how about Burger King and Wendy's and the rest of them? Well, we trace that back to Scripture, and what does the Scripture says? In the end times, the people will eat their own children. So you think about it from a cannibal, like we're all starving to death, and so we kill our kids and we eat them. That may happen. It may get to that point, but the children are being eaten now by hamburger and sausage. And
right.
Any of those meats that are, what do they call them?
Processed?
Luncheon type meats or whatever, for lack of a better term.
Oh, cold cuts?
Yeah, cold cuts and all that stuff. Folks, if you're going to have a steak, that's fine. You're going to have roast beef, that's fine. Obviously, Yahweh says don't eat pork. I'm sure Dan's probably mentioned that a million times on the show. Six times in the Scripture it says don't eat the swine, which is the pork for you new people. Royal Raymond Rife, who was a great scientist back in the 20s, and he cured all known diseases back then with his Rife machine and his power telescope, he said the number one thing that causes cancer is pork. Number two is mushrooms, and number three is shellfish. I would have thought shellfish was two and mushrooms three, but at any rate, I don't eat any of that crap, and it's called the unclean meats in the scripture. It's all been there, folks. You know, Yahweh had his prophets in the older scripture and disciples in the newer scripture write the scriptures. And there was originally 153 books that were ordained, that were brought into the Council of Nicene. There were 10 false books brought in also, but the Catholic Church whittled that down to 78 correct books and 2 false books. The 2 false books being the Song of Solomon, which is a nice book of poetry, but doesn't mention Yahweh or Yahshua or anything, and then the Book of Esther. And Comperay thought it was a Jew book, and Wickstrom did a good dissertation on it, and he said it was a Persian book. Doesn't matter if it was a Jew or a Persian book. It's not a Hebrew Israelite, now called Christ's son, or white race, pure white race today book. So anyway, I don't waste my time with the Book of Esther at all. And those other books that have been removed, they've removed the 14 Apocrypha books since then, to cover up the tracks of the Jews coming back from Babylon to the rebuild the temple in Israel 2,000 years ago, a little more than that. But bottom line is, folks, you got to wake up to what's going. And the two most important things that people think about right now is COVID-19. Don't worry about it. It doesn't exist. And this is a suicide attempt to get people to kill themselves taking this shot. And if you don't die, you're going to get sick for sure. And it has the mark of the beast, so you're going to be cut off from Yahweh. And depending on which brand it is, some of it has elements in there to change your DNA. So I don't know what it's going to change it to, but more robotic, change you from a man to a woman or woman to a man, I don't know. I'm not taking the test. I'm not taking the shot. I tell everybody everywhere that I can, don't do that. And if the military or police ever come to me and try to force me to take it, it's a gunfight, and I pack all the time. And I'm well-trained because I go out the front sight all the time, so, and have been for many, many years.
Right. One last thing here before we end the program. The concern most people have, you know, I know all about the military part of this thing. When the guy called me 10 years ago to talk to me about a possible military intervention, that all makes perfect sense to me. But my problem with why did they select Trump, who has all of these Jewish connections, when anybody that knows anything knows the Jews are behind everything, 9/11, Las Vegas, Oklahoma City, the Mossad, the spying, the murder, the child pedophilia, they're behind everything, exactly as Messiah said. They're guilty of all the innocent blood. Their money or their control is behind everything. So how is it that if there's good guys in the military who actually want to intervene here and do the right thing, why would you pick a guy that is in bed so tight, including his family, like Trump? That's the question on everybody's mind. Why?
Well, it's simple to me. And this goes back to a Bertrand Comperay tape. I forget which one it was. I think it was tape number 10, but don't quote me on that. But it's one of the Bertrand Comperay tapes. You can get it at Kingdom Identity Ministries. And here's what Bertrand Comperay said. And for you new folks, Bertrand Comperay was an attorney. And he was an assistant district attorney down in San Diego. Excuse me. And a contemporary, obviously, of William Gale and Wesley Swift. Anyway, he had never lost a case ever, except he had one time he had a Jew, and he told the Jew, he says, look, all you got to do is get on the stand and tell the truth, and if you tell the truth, you're going to win the case. The Jew got on the stand, lied, lost the case, couldn't tell the truth. I mean, it's just in their nature, folks. You know, it's like a rabid dog has to bite you. or those old sayings of a, you know, frog that got on a snake's head to go across the river or something, you know, they're going to turn on you. The Jew's always going to stab you in the back. Smart, you know. So anyway, Comparé said on one of his tapes that there was a guy when John Kennedy, when he had won the presidency, you know, everybody was afraid of that because he was a Catholic, you know, supposedly an Irish Catholic and so forth. So a reporter from the New York Times had went to Ireland after Kennedy won to look up the genealogy and the family from back in Ireland and so forth. So they looked it up, and he found out that the Kennedys are Jewish. They're not Catholic. They're Jews. And the Jews and the Catholics, folks, the Jews run the Catholic Church, you know, just 100%. It didn't start out that way. It was only partly lukewarm Jews and the first Jews for Jesus crowd and you know, lukewarm white race, you know, that believed anybody could be converted. Well, you can't. Anyway, he came back as the reporter, and he reported on the New York Times one time that he went and did the research in Ireland on the Kennedy family and found out that they were Jewish. And that guy was never heard from again, ever. Now, that's in Comparé's tapes. So you can get the information by all of Comparé's tapes anyway. I think there's like 85 or something like that. He has them on CDs. When I bought them, they were tapes. CDs didn't exist. But anyway, the Kennedy family is Jewish. And guess what? That means John Kennedy Jr. is Jewish. And Trump is Jewish. And John Kennedy Jr. and Trump got together way back in the late 90s when he had George Magazine that John Kennedy Jr. was running and was going to run for senator. And he told him that he had to fake his death and his wife and her sister because she just couldn't be away from her sister. They faked the death. And he was real tight with people in the Navy, elements in the Navy from his father and so forth. And from there, with the Navy and the Army, from what I'm told, can't really be trusted. But the Navy, yes. The new Space Force that Trump put together, yes. Elements of the Air Force, yes. The Marines, which are actually part of the Navy, as it were, yes. Those are all the good guys. The Army guys you got to watch out for because a lot of them are controlled by the Jews and the people and elements, bankers and so forth in Washington and New York, New York City and the District of the Kabbalah, as I call it. But anyway, John F. Kennedy Jr. is a Jew. Trump is a Jew. Most people don't know that on either one. But two Jews got together. And they have their elements in the military, and they're going forward. And on one hand, it's a vengeance mark for John Kennedy Jr. to get back at the people and or groups, most of the people who killed him, like George Bush Sr. He's passed away. I'm told he was executed, as was John McCain, was executed. They didn't die of health causes and so forth. They were both executed. And so, anyway, this is on the Internet, folks. You can look this up and follow a couple of different groups. And so the bottom line is that John Kennedy Jr. and Trump, two Jews, got together and decided that one day they would Trump elected. And they had the NSA, not the CIA. CIA, the bad guys, they're Jews. They're controlled by the Mossad. And the Mossad and the CIA are controlled by the Jesuits, and the Jesuits are controlled by the Rothschild family. I mean, you know, you got this line of Jews. There's only two groups of people here, folks. Yahweh's children, the pure white race, and then you got the Jews. Now, you got Jews fighting Jews, which is a good thing, because I never liked World War II. I wouldn't have joined to fight Germans. I would have fought the Japanese, but not the Germans. But the bottom line is that's my understanding of how it is. But that's, I'm like several layers back, you know. So you can find out that John Kennedy was a Jew by going to the Confrere tapes. Trump, if you look up his genealogy, you'll see his father's grandfather, whatever, was Jewish. But over time, they try to change it, and they try to make you think Jew is a religion. Okay? If you want to confuse a Jew and you want to hear double talk, say, hey, Mr. Jew, Mr. Schwartz or whatever his name is, can you tell me, is Jewish, is that a religion or is that a race? And you're going to hear a lot of double talk because what a Jew is that bloodline. It's a racial thing. Jew, as far as they follow the Talmud, that's neither here nor there. It's all garbage. The Catholic, that's all garbage. The Protestant, that's all garbage. The Hindu, the Buddhism, all that's garbage, because all religions are controlled by Satan through his kids, the Jews. All, 100% all. The two-seed line message, as I like to call it, some call it Christian identity, some call it racial identity. What that is looking at Yahweh's true word is written in the scripture, and you want to get scriptures that are written before 1970 because they're much, much less corrupt. The ones written after 1970, I have well over 150 different scriptures in my library. But anything written after 1970, I don't buy, and if I had any, I would throw it away anyway, because it's all garbage. It's just too corrupt, you know. They have names like the Serendipity Bible. What is that supposed to mean? You know, right. I like the Geneva 1560, the Farrar Fenton, Rotherham's, Moffat's, the old King James written from 1611. That's good. It has over, depending on who you talk to, 23,000 to 28,000 mistranslations. Most of them are small. But if you get a Strong's Concordance and a good scripture dictionary like a Smith's or something, you can read that and you can go along and you can find out here or there. And as Comparé said, if you had, like he had nine different ones that he relied on, and he said if he ever came to a passage that was a little confusing or something, he'd look up that passage and the other ones, and one of them would be correct. And they were all just a little different. But he says one of them would be correct. So he could get through the scripture, and he'd always find the correct passage in one of those nine volumes that he had. You know, he was a researcher and an attorney, and he was my favorite pastor, because that was the first one I learned from. I didn't learn from him personally, but from his material. But he was an attorney, and so he knew how to lay out evidence, just like an attorney would lay out evidence before a jury. And Comparé was great at it.
Comparé is who I studied the most under his material. I found it to be the most reliable and made the most sense. But I guess getting back to the original question, though, is why does everything seem to revolve around Jews? Where are Yahweh's people in this whole end-time scenario here? Where the hell are our people? Why is it Jews are behind everything going on? And somehow that's going to be good for us?
No. I wouldn't say that. But, Yahweh calls his people the sheep. And they're stiff-necked and backsliding. Stiff-necked meaning they think they know it all, and backsliding means they always turn from his true word as found in the scriptures, which is a straight and narrow, to following the satanic DNA seed line Jews. And on their 50-lane highway with all the bells and whistles, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, anything goes when the whistle blows. Our people always turn from Yahweh, you know. Our people should reach in your pocket. Do you pull out gold or silver, or you pull out fiat paper currency that's worth nothing? Toilet paper. And a fiat paper currency always comes to its true value eventually, which is zero, all the way down through history. Why don't our people deal in gold and silver and barter trade? Well, because they're stiff-necked and backsliding. It's so much easier to have the money. Oh, I can write a check. Oh, I can put it on my credit card, the gold card or the platinum card or the titanium card or whatever they call them these days. Our people turn away, you know, they pull into a McDonald's, you know, they say, oh, give me a sausage McMuffin and a cup of coffee. And so they sit there and they eat the sausage, wonder why they get sick, wonder why they get cancer when they get older. As a kid growing up, what do? Oh, their idiot friends told them, oh, yeah, let me try a cigarette. And so they start smoking. They get hooked on the cigarettes. And you got, I don't know how many chemicals these days, a couple of hundred different chemicals in the tobacco that poison you in a variety of different ways. Our people just don't wake up. They don't know Yahweh's word. Ask how many, you could ask 1,000 white people, do you know the Jews are the children of Satan and not of God? I used to ask people, I'd say, do you believe in God? They'd say, yeah. I said, have you heard of Satan? Oh, yeah. Did you know Satan had his kids here? Oh, yeah, must be spiritual. You know, if you do bad things, then you're Satan's kid. No. Would you believe Christ if he told you that there's a group of people that are called Satan's kids? I'd say, well, yeah, I'd believe Christ if he told me. I said, well, read John 8:44 and 8:47. Christ said the Jews are the children of Satan and not of God. They'd say, oh, no, I know some good Jews. I said, how can there be such a good thing, such a thing as a good devil? Can't be a good devil. All devils are bad. They con you when they first meet you. They put that clown-like smile, that big wide smile, and they shake your hand. They're getting ready to stab you in the back. They hate you. And the reason they hate you and the reason you should hate them is because Yahweh put that enmity, that hatred that can never get along, between Satan's kids and his children, the pure white race. And that's all in Genesis chapter 3, 3:15. Yahweh put that enmity, that hatred there. You folks out there, if you don't hate the Jews with a passion, there's something wrong with you. You're not hooked up to Yahweh. And if you don't know that the Jews are the children of Satan, when Christ told you it's been there for 2,000 years, that the Jews are the children of Satan and not of God. If you don't know that, there's not much I can tell you. But okay. I have people all the time tell me, oh, I read my scripture. No, you don't, because you would know that.
Okay, so now how do you solve the obvious irony that Trump and JFK Jr. are working with white hats to fix the problem? How do you solve that?
Well, first off, the Jews aren't much on fighting, as it were. They always like to send, you know, somebody else's military to be the cannon fodder ahead of them and so forth. So our military is being used by a couple of Jews, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Trump, to go, you know, take down these pedophiles and these treasonous traitors and so forth, and they're being used to do that. Well, obviously, they know about the plan, and so this is a military operation. This is a war. Now, understand, Rothschild, if he controls every central bank and can appoints all the politicians one way or the other through, you know, yeah, the Democratic candidate that you can vote for, the Republican Rothschild candidate you can vote for, the independent Rothschild, they're all Rothschild candidates. So the bottom line is, as long as you're good to him, you know, no problem. But according to top sources, which Charlie Ward is another one, and you'll see videos that Robert David Steele does with him. Also, Charlie Ward is ex-MI6, which is like the CIA over in England. And so he's retired. And so, but these guys, they retire. Like Ted Gunderson, ex-FBI, these guys, they retire, but they still have their contacts and their friends that they made over the years in those organizations, and they still get vital information and from them, and so they put it out. You know, Robert David Steele did a brilliant thing, which I knew about a long time ago, you know, a thing called naked short selling. And what, you know, the bankers do, the Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch and the rest of them, a company goes public and it issues a bunch of shares and so forth. Well, you can short that stock, which means sell it because you believe it's going down. And how you do that is you sell the stock first. And then as it goes down, the idea is you buy it back at a lower rate, and then you replace the stock that you borrowed. Well, that goes on every day, short selling. And that's why the market goes up and down all the time. Well, these guys, they do what's called naked short selling. In other words, they don't have any money in it. They just sell the stock, and the stock drops. They haven't put up a quarter. The stock drops, and they cash out 100,000, 100 million, doesn't matter, when it gets down low enough, and then they buy the stock back at a deep discount. Now, the people think something went wrong with the company, and when the stock goes down, they want to sell. That's the worst time. You buy it when it gets down low. The old saying, you buy low, sell high. Well, short selling is the opposite. You sell first, and you buy back cheaper later. Now, that's criminal as far as I'm concerned, but it's been done in the stock market since day one. And what some of these markets do, what they do is they let, like, Tyco and Enron and a bunch of other ones, what happens was the stock was way up there, and Bush was big. They were big, very close friends with Enron and all the CEOs and everything in that company. And what they did was they said, hey, it's time to dump the stock, and we're going to dump the company. This is going back 20 years ago. So what they did was they sold all the stock, all the guys. They didn't put up any money. They didn't have any stock. They borrowed the stock, as it were, and then the market goes way down, and they let them go out of business. So now all that money that they got at the very bottom, when the stock is selling for 6 cents, they sold it when it was $80. And it dropped down to 6 cents, and then they bought it back, all those shares. Well, then you just let it go because you made all that profit.
Right.
Axelrod, by the way, my mentor, he worked for a guy, what was his name? I'll think of it in a minute. Lou Chesler. Lou Chesler, he was a real mover and shaker years ago. He bought an island called Hog Island over in the Caribbean, he changed the name from Hog Island to Paradise Island, and then started selling that land, and Axelrod was his top guy there. He sold half the land on Paradise Island, which is what it's called today, but it used to be called Hog Island because they had a bunch of pigs running around on there, and it was kind of a garbage island. But they made a fortune doing that. He took Seven Arts. He sold it to Warner Brothers for $700 million, motion picture. But he took a stock one time, Axelrod told me, that he bought it for $2, ran it up to $106, and then ran it back down to $2 by manipulating the market. And he knew how to do that. And he wiped out a bunch of people that he didn't like, told them, oh, yeah, you got to buy this stock. It's going to the moon. And then when it started heading down again, he told them, no, hang on, it's just a market correction. It's all coming back. But it went from $2 to $106 and back to $2.
Understood. One of the people listening here has a comment. He goes, am I missing something? I don't see a clear explanation for why we should trust the plan as the Q crew believes. Who's in charge of the military and the plan to round up all the demons?
Well, you got to understand what they're doing, what their viewpoint is, and what they're doing. What Trump is trying to do with JFK Jr. and this military operation is all these treasonous traitors that have been, throwing tomatoes and lettuce at him for the last 4 years, and he knows they're treasonous traitors and pedophiles and so forth, he's looking to put him in their place and kill him. Jews think nothing about killing anybody. You got to understand that. If they kill, 100 million people, they don't care. They're looking to do world population reduction. That's killing off 95% of the population, taking it from 7.5 million down to 500,000. Kill 7 billion people and wouldn't bat an eye.
Right. Yeah. We all know that. That's why the question, why should we trust this plan if the people behind the plan are the same kind of people?
Well, I never said trust the plan. I just said that's their plan. Now, you can say trust the plan. That's as good a thing apparently to believe in as anything else. But I think everybody out there knows that, senile Joe Biden and spread your legs Kamala Harris, who's a diehard communist, the first thing they want to do if they get in office is they want to take away all your guns. They want to tax you to death. That's what they do. They want to steal your land. They already got everybody walking around. They put over, I think it was 110,000 restaurants around the country have closed permanently.
Right.
In less than a year.
Well,
millions of people are out of business.
Right.
Don't have any jobs. They're expecting a government handout. This is a communist thing. What China needs is they need farmland to feed all their people. They got an overabundance of people. And from their point of view, the Chinese communists need the farmland here. We got the best farmland. Just in the California Valley that's up there, that just right there feeds half of all the known wealth in the world. Just that valley from, it's like Bakersfield all the way up to, all the way going up north. But that whole central to northern, that whole farm valley in there, the UN actually has laws that you're not allowed to change that farmland and build condos or anything like that or housing projects. It must remain farmland forever. And that whole area of farmland feeds half of all the known wealth and half of all the people in the world.
Right.
So China wants that land, and they don't care about Americans. They just as soon kill us as look at us. Jews would just as soon kill us as look at us. Niggers
right.
hate us just as much as could be. Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's about as that's just only us and the rest of you people, you get the middle finger. Our people, the pure white race, has been given the finger to Yahweh for far, far too long. I'm surprised Yahweh hasn't just destroyed this whole planet again, although he didn't do that with the flood. That was just localized. But I'm surprised he just didn't wipe it out like he did with Atlantis or Lemuria and Mu, which were in the Pacific, and other areas, that we'll never hear of. Antarctica, I'm sure, used to be a great place and a lot of farmland, and they found pyramids down there bigger than the pyramids in Egypt.
Right.
Antarctica is a unique thing in the center of the earth. Admiral Byrd, he supposedly, when he went north, he was taken in to the center of the earth, as it were, at what's called the North Pole, which is not a pole, but in that area, and he was introduced to some Aryans that were up there that had unique technology that we don't have today.
Right.
There's all kinds of things happening, not only on this planet, but under the planet, in other planets out there, You know, what's happening out here at Area 51 in Nevada? People talk about that. S4 is the place where all the good stuff is. S4 is about 20 miles south of Area 51. And, you know, I had a, years ago, I was listening to a guy, Chuck Harder, who had a radio show for 3 hours every day, similar to like Rush Limbaugh. And he had a guy on there that was an engineer from Area 51. And anyway, he knew Chuck real well. And as the story goes, there was an accident out at Area 51, and he got hurt and couldn't work anymore. So he went to the government agency, unemployment office or whatever it is, and he says, hey, I need to collect my pension and stuff. And they said, well, Area 51 doesn't exist. He said, what do you mean? I've been working there 20 years. It doesn't exist. You know, of course it exists. And so they wouldn't give him any money, his disability or anything like that. So he got a hold of Chuck Harder, who was a good friend of his, and Chuck called some military brass that he knew in Washington, D.C. He says, I'm going to make your life miserable and expose Area 51 if you don't give this guy his pension. You know, I'll make it my life's work, you know, get the guy his pension. You know, he got hurt, he worked for you for 20 years and so forth. So anyway, the guy got his pension, and he was very beholden to Chuck. And so Chuck, he went on he had the guy come on the show, and he says, I know you can't tell me about a lot of stuff out there because it was top secret. He says, but what can you tell me, you know, about what goes on there at Area 51? And he said, Chuck, he says, I was just a low-level engineer. He says, and this is going back to the early 90s, so he was there probably from the 70s and 80s and so forth. And he says, I was just a low-level engineer. I didn't know about the real good stuff that they got out here. He says, but just what I know personally, he says, we have stuff that can go to the moon and back before lunch. Now, that's a quote from him. Yeah. So now, when people talk about, oh, the moon landing, yeah, that whole Armstrong thing and what they tried to do in 69 and all that, that was shot by Stanley Kubrick in a British movie studio, and they faked that whole thing, first step on the moon and all that. That was garbage. That's for public consumption. That's the breadcrumbs they throw you. But what they have stuff, according to Ben Rich, who was the top guy that took over after Kelly Johnson retired, and he was out there for a long time anyway. He says, we can send E.T. home. He says, we've explored everywhere we need to explore now. So not only time machine going forward and backward, and you can read this in the books, folks. You can buy them on Amazon. But our people don't know. Our people, they turn on that Talmud vision. Oh, what are they saying on CNN, the Communist News Network? Oh, look at what the faggot, the Vanderbilt kid. What's that faggot with the white hair? The
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, I got a.
And they listen to him.
I know. I know. I got a quote here that just came in on my computer. This is the witch Kamala Harris back in June of 2020. This is her quote here. And once Trump's gone and we have regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you supported him and endorsed his actions, because we're coming after you next. You will feel you will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out. In every corner of this great nation, for it is you who have betrayed us. So that's what's coming. But we're at the 2.5 hour mark, Bob. So what I'd like to do is just go ahead and give you a final comment here and wrap this one up, and have you come back for some more interviews.
Sure, appreciate it, anytime. What I would tell you folks is put 100% of your faith and trust in Yahweh only. Never, ever, ever, ever the government or any person here on planet Earth, because none of them are perfect. you know, especially government. I can't tell you, you know, I sent out an article yesterday from Michael Frances, who's a ex-mafia capo from the Colombo family, and he says the government today in America is more like the mafia than the mafia, and he's absolutely correct.
Yeah, there's a good book that goes into all that. It's called The Red Mafia by Robert Friedman.
Yeah. So, folks, stock up on food, water, guns, and ammo. I mean, long-term storage food like that, canned goods, different sort of things, water purifiers, get guns, especially military style, and lots and lots and lots and lots of ammo, and start getting your money out of the stock market completely. Don't have much money in the bank at all other than to pay utility bills or rent or something or mortgage. Get out of your mortgage. Get out of debt. Convert over into gold and silver because that's going to go through the roof, and that's an automatic because they're just printing money like crazy. And the inflation, eventually, when they stop controlling the gold and silver market, you're going to see gold and silver go through the roof. Where is it going to go? I don't know, but it's got to go through the roof because they're printing too much fiat currency.
Right.
Put 100% of your faith and trust in Yahweh only. Do not ever take that test or that shot. Go down in a gunfight. Protect your children. Realize the Jew is a children of Satan. And not of Yahweh, says Yahweh as Yahshua himself. Read it yourself. Do that Kingdom Identity course, the American Institute of Theology course, and donate and help Dan keep his radio show going. And you can't send any money to me, but if you'd like to get on my mailing list, I gave that out earlier, and I send out several mails, pieces a day or so for the most part. From good sources. So,
yeah.
looks like the next 10 or 12 days are going to be really unique.
Absolutely. And everybody sends condolences over the loss of Andre.
Yeah, Andre was, he used to be years ago, he was with the KKK down there, but he left them. Even before that, he was an ex-New York cop. Who realized what a place that was. But he was a great guy, knew Yahweh's word real good. He used to put all of Jim's radio shows on Arcodius and so forth, and Ray Bunzo's work. And we did the radio shows, and yeah, it was just sad to see. 53 years old, had a heart attack. Went in the hospital. They put a stent in there. He came out, said he felt great. About a week later, he just keeled over in the chair, and that was the end of that. And the girlfriend tried to, she called the guys to come get him, and they took him there. They had to hit him 7 times with the paddle, and he was just never came out. Went into a coma, and that was the end of that.
Wow, sad. All right, Bob. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for being on.
Good soldier of Yahweh.
What's that?
I say a good soldier of Yahweh.
Oh, yeah. He's
with Yahweh now. I'm jealous.
Yeah, we don't like any of our good people leaving early, but, you know, everything's in Yahweh's plan. So thanks a lot for coming on, Bob. Again, you know, anytime you want to jump on here with me, just let me know and we'll set it up.
You got it. Yahweh bless everyone out there, and Yahweh bless you, John. Bye.
All right, take care. Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, some of the shows have been running a long time, so what I'm going to ask some of my helpers out there to do is take these long shows and create a table of contents. In other words, while the show is going on, have a notepad and take note of how many minutes into the program we talk about the different subjects. Most people don't have 2.5 hours to sit and listen to an entire show, or to listen through it to try to find stuff. So what I'm finding out is that's the next thing that has to be done. So I'm going to ask some of my friends out there to take the shows, sit down, and make a little index of major topics or any important information that's there, and set the time of the broadcast where that information can be found. Most people I know, if you do that to where they can go in there and find the things they're most interested in, that's a great help, because everybody's in a hurry. People are waking up very quickly. Some of this stuff they already know, any new stuff they want, but we're going to have to start creating a table of contents, and I'm going to have to start doing that on my website as well. I got to figure out how to do that. But any of my my close inner circle friends out there, if you want to do that for me and help me out, that would be great. But form that table of contents with the timestamps, and we can start making that available. So because guests like Bob, we don't agree on everything, obviously, but there's a lot of meat in the things that Bob brought us today, and we need to put that down in index form so that people can go right to that 3, 4, 5 minute section where he talks about that particular thing. So going forward, because of the time we're in, things are happening rapidly. I do agree with Bob on that quite a bit. Over the next 10 days, Lord knows what we're going to see. Stay strong in the Father. Stay prayed up. Keep your spiritual walk going well. I'm praying that all of you have been taking care of your health so your pineal gland is in great shape so that spiritual connection's there. We're going to need Father's help through this, folks. There's no doubt about that, regardless of what's going on. That really is inconsequential. What matters most is your walk with the Father, your personal walk with Him, and your walk with your brothers and sisters. We're a family. Whatever's coming, it's the family that matters. It's how we come through this fire as a family out on the other side. That's what matters. All the rest of it is inconsequential, much like Psalm 91 refers to. You're going to see 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other side. All kind of things are going to happen to them, but they're not believers. They're not part of the family. Remember, it's not just a DNA thing. It's a DNA thing plus the spiritual walk. You got to have both. You don't get in with one and not the other. So thinking of that going forward, and also the table of contents idea, we're going to pray that that's going to make a big difference here, as we can't seem to keep these shows any less than an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we do thank all the live listeners. We're up to about 125 live, there's many thousands that listen to the downloads later on. And we're having an influence over other platforms, folks. You have no idea how much influence you're having. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We do thank you for Pastor Bob and all the work that he's done over the years. We also ask that you be with Andre's family as they grieve his loss. Also help Pastor Bob find somebody else to co-host with him, and also help him with some of his internet activities. We thank you for this opportunity to talk to our brethren, especially at this critical time in our history. We just ask that you would walk with us and guide us by thy Holy Spirit. Help us see through the lies and deceptions. Help us to stay strong as a family unit. Help us to look out for each other and put away our petty differences, put away our petty jealousies, and all the things that seem to have plagued us for thousands of years, actually. We're at a critical time in our walk upon this earth. It's time for a new heaven and a new earth based on you and your law. Get rid of this whole nonsensical man's law thing, and this mercantile system that has enslaved mankind and driven everybody mad with materialism and the quest for power and material goods. Your righteous laws are the laws that matter, and we need to remember that. We need to institute your law and scrap this whole man-made system. As the events of today are telling us, the man-made system is corrupt through and through. The world religions, the centralized religions, centralized banking, centralized mercantile system, centralized farming, everything centralizes communists. And the communists need to go. The Zionist communists need to be rounded up and exterminated. Exactly like George Washington said, Ben Franklin said, Thomas Jefferson said, and anybody with any common sense knows. Communists never give up. They'll never compromise. They'll never coexist. So if it's a choice between the righteous of Yahweh and a satanic communist, I choose the righteous with Yahweh. So be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, and always, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.